from Spark and Anvil and Figure Forge. This is Knot, in Chapter 1 of the Figure Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Knot was a small octopus tween with a chunky, soft head and 8 friendly arms that wiggled and curled when he got excited, which was often. He was warm purple with cream-colored suckers, and he was not the least bit scary, more like a plush toy that had learned to talk. What Knot loved most in the world was words, especially the strange ones, the ones that made no sense at all if you took them apart. He carried a whole collection of little rope knots, each one tied a different way, each with a paper label. And on every label was a saying, "Spill the beans," read one. "Break a leg," read another. "Cat got your tongue," read a third. "Try to untie one," he'd tell a visitor, holding out a knot. "Go on, loosen it word by word, and see if the meaning falls out." Nobody ever could. You could pick "spill the beans" apart into "spill" and "the" and "beans" all day long, and never once arrive at "tell a secret." That was Knot's whole delight. The meaning wasn't hiding inside the words. It was tied up in the knot itself, and the only way to get it was to already know it. Knot grew up in a tide pool village where his family made knots for the fishing boats. All day long they tied nets and rigging and mooring lines, each knot with its own name and its own job. A bowline, a clove hitch, a sheet bend. Young Knot noticed something that stuck with him for the rest of his life. The name of a knot never once showed you how to tie it. Bowline didn't tell your fingers a single thing. You couldn't reason your way to it. You had to be shown, and then you had to practice, and then one day your arms just knew. There was no untangling it from the word. He remembered the afternoon it clicked. He'd spent an hour trying to figure out a knot from its name alone, getting more and more tangled, more and more frustrated, until his grandmother gently took the rope, looped it twice, and there it was. He hadn't been dumb. The knowing simply lived in the doing, not in the name. He felt the frustration melt into something warmer, relief and a small thrill. Some things you don't figure out, you learn them, and that was allowed. Years later, when he heard the strange sayings people traded back and forth, he felt that same tide pool click. Language was full of knots too. One sunny afternoon in his workshop, with light streaming through a shell window and dozens of labeled rope knots laid across his bench, a young student named Pip poked their head in, looking worried. "Knot, can I ask you something?" "Of course, in. His arms waved them over. Pip stepped inside. "My friend said it's raining buckets this morning. I looked outside, there were no buckets falling. What did they even mean?" Knot's eyes lit up. He plucked a knot off the bench, its label read exactly that phrase, and held it out. "Feel this. Try and pull the meaning out of the words." Pip tugged gently. "Raining buckets. Rain that comes in buckets?" They frowned. "But it doesn't, though." "It doesn't," Knot agreed happily. "So the words are lying to you, a little. What it really means is raining hard, very hard. But you can't get there from rain and buckets. The meaning is just agreed on. Everybody who says it has decided together what it means and left the words behind." Pip turned that over. "So if a phrase sounds weird, but everybody says it anyway, that's my clue?" "That's your first detective trick," Knot beamed, an arm curling with delight. "Trust the weirdness. The weirdness is the whole signal." He picked up another knot, cost an arm and a leg. "Say you bought a new shell phone and it cost an arm and a leg." Pip giggled. "Nobody's handing over an arm." "Nobody is. It just means very expensive. The words paint a wild picture, and the picture isn't the point." He set it down and lifted a third. "Break a leg. And this one's a wish for good luck, for a show usually. The words say the opposite of what they mean." "That's wild," Pip laughed. "Isn't it?" Knot said. Then his voice went a touch softer, more serious, and he gathered a few knots into his arms at once. Here's the part that matters most, Pip. These sayings are like fingerprints. They belong to a place, a family, a language. Raining buckets might get a blank stare across the ocean. Somebody there might genuinely go find a bucket. He set the knots down gently. So when someone doesn't know one of these, never ever think they're not smart. They just come from a place where the fingerprints are different. Pip nodded slowly. So it's not their fault. It's nobody's fault. These phrases don't travel well. That's just how they are. He held Pip's gaze. Be kind about it. Always.
He showed Pip one last thing, a knot with no label yet. When you meet a strange phrase and it makes no sense taken apart, what do you do? Pip thought. Look it up? Look it up, Knot cheered, arms waving. Find someone who knows, or find a book that lists them. And when you've caught one, you've found a knot. He pressed a small paper tag and a pen into Pip's hand. Here, your first one to keep. Pip left the workshop clutching the new knot, already scanning the world for weird phrases to catch. Knot watched them go and settled back on his bench among the ropes. He thought about his grandmother's hands, all those years ago, looping the rope twice while he sat frustrated beside her. He'd been so afraid back then that not knowing meant not good enough. It had taken him a long time to feel otherwise. He picked up the phrase Pip had brought in, raining buckets, and turned it over in one arm, the way you turn a smooth stone. No shame lived in this little knot, only a story, a place, and a person somewhere who'd know it by heart. And now there was one more kid in the world who understood that not knowing wasn't a failing, just an invitation to learn. Knot felt his eight arms go loose and easy, and a quiet gladness settled over him, warm as the afternoon light. His work wasn't pulling knots apart. It was helping kids feel safe enough to reach for the lens they hadn't met yet.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Knot. Released under Creative Commons by NCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.